Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Macedonian Call around the globe, and we're coming to you from Springboro, Ohio, and so glad to be with you all tonight. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Praise God. And I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. I know we did. All the family, all the children came and brought their children as well, our grandchildren. We got to see most of them. And we just thank the Lord for that. Thank God for another Christmas. And now we're looking forward to a new year, and we're thanking the Lord for another new year. Praise God. And we want you to continue to pray for little William Reeder. He's a two-year-old cousin of mine. He is actually my cousin's grandson, so he's like a third cousin to me. And they have diagnosed him with a brain tumor, and it's cancerous, and it's on the brain stem, and they said it's inoperable. They've given radiation. They have started chemo. They had to stop the chemo. He had some type of allergic reaction to the chemotherapy. So keep him in your prayers. He is on a ventilator. The last we heard, he is at the Children's Hospital. And just keep him in prayer. That's sad. But, you know, we know God can heal. God is America working God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe what He did when He walked on this earth, that He's still doing those miracles today. Praise the Lord. He said that we can also do those works. Even greater works shall ye do, He says. Praise God. If you live a sold-out life for Jesus, and you mean it when you pray, and you lay hands on the sick, but you're born-again Christian, you can do these things as well. And tonight we're talking about prophecy. And you know, it's a King James Bible, the only Bible that we study, the only Bible, the only Word of God that we know of. And that's the Bible we choose to study out of. Anything else is just a commentary book to us. But if you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And I have a phone number coming up here. It's an anonymous number. It is 111. I want you to come in and tell us where you're located and who you are. Area code 111. The phone number is 111 and four ones after that. Well, you're welcome to say something. If you like, just I've got your mic open, and I'm giving you this opportunity to speak. Okay, we're going to go ahead with the broadcast, and I'm going to block that call. They say that's an anonymous. Don't know about that, so we just exit that out of there. We have 706-975. Come and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hey, Sister Green. It's Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God, Sister Frieda. Good to have you on here, and praise the Lord, and hope you had a very Merry Christmas, sis.
I did.
Good. Okay, we're going to have little Rachel come in. She's going to give us her scripture that she has, and we'll go on with the broadcast. Praise God.
5:32, and we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So if you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Sister Frieda, are you ready? We're speaking on prophecy tonight, sis.
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Amen. You go ahead and obey God.
All right. I'm going to start first with Romans 12, and I'm going to read 6 through 8. Having them gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then I got a few more. And okay, the next one's going to be 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to start with verse 8. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Okay, and I got two more. Where'd it go? Okay, I'm going to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to start with 39 and 40. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And my last one is First Thessalonians, I think. Let me find it. There it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to start with verse 16 and go through 28. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blamelessly until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read, and unto all the holy brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, if we listen to what the prophecies, and somebody else told me somewhere in Revelation, but I didn't want to go that far because these popped out to me when I was looking at the script, and I said, Lord, I want to be whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. I want to leave what you tell me to do. And, you know, it's been a little bit, I have, since I lost my mom not too long ago, but, you know, I got in the shower one Sunday morning before I left to go to church that afternoon, and I said, Lord, when I was in the shower, I said, Lord, well, I said, Mama, what are you doing? You know, we can talk to our people when they're already gone to heaven, but, you know, I have not had a sad moment. I know she's not suffering, and, you know, we have to look to role models that has gone before us. And my mom was a faithful Christian. She prayed. And, you know, I got people that comes to my house. I had one in particular when I had to go to the funeral. I couldn't get everything done that I needed to. And this sister came in and she said, Frida, I can feel your prayers in this house. And, you know, it makes you feel good. I'm not bragging on me, but the Lord has moved so tremendously that I can pray and I can understand. And, you know, people look to have understanding. If you see a vision or whatever, I told a friend the other day, I said, I had a dream about one of your grandsons. And I said, I don't mean to scare you, but I said, you need to see and make sure he is safe when things happen. And she said, thank you for telling me. But we have to listen to what the Lord tells us. We have to be quiet sometimes. But, I mean, I feel the presence of the Lord all around me through other people. And people have been showing me compassion. I mean, they'll call me and they'll say, are you okay? Do you need anything? Or is everything all right? But, you know, there's some people that want to do that. But the Lord moves it on people to do what needs to be done. And I thank the good Lord that he's been with me and he's going to be with me. We might have some days, but thank the good Lord. I haven't had any yet, but if it does come to that, all I'm going to do is just get on my knees and pray out to the Lord, and he will comfort my heart and through what we're going through. Back to you, Sister Green.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We're talking about prophecy tonight, and if you'll call in at 347-989-8862, and we'll get you on here, and hopefully you have a testimony, or you'll have maybe a prayer request, or do like Sister Frida did. Maybe you have some scriptures to read, and just share with us what the Lord gives you on prophecy. Praise God. And well done, Sister Frida. There's a caller in tonight here, I see, and come in and tell us who you are. You just now called in, and just tell us who you are, where you're located.
Hi, Sister Green. This is Sister Gladys.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. Good to have you on here, and we're talking about prophecy tonight, and sorry I didn't get to get with you earlier this week. I had a lot going on. We're actually trying to sell our house, and they wanted to do a showing today in the evening, so we had to kind of pack up the car and leave, and just now got in the door. So we've been scattered all night. But, you know, God's in control. God knows exactly what he's doing, and we just ask that you and Sister Frida pray for us, that if it's the Lord's will, that we can sell our house and move to the house that we're wanting, and it's going to be much better for what we need the house for. Thank God, and we will use it for his glory. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Sister Gladys, sis, go ahead and obey God, and we've got plenty of time. And Sister Frida, if you want to look up some more scripture, sis, and we'll get you to come back in here. We've got an hour and 45 minutes to go, and we sure appreciate you all. We couldn't do this. We could not do 2 hours, just Brother Green and I. And we thank God that you all have that desire to reach the world for Christ. And Brother Yearwood, he showed us how to do this. And we were so thankful for him. And thank God when Pastor John comes on and Brother Eddie Bolton, remember him in prayer. We've not heard from him in a while. And we're just praying all is well. He had been sick in body there for a bit, and we've just not heard anything. So y'all keep him in prayer. Go ahead, Sister Gladys.
We will. I'm so sorry that my phone keeps coming in different. Next time I'll just shout it out, and if you don't reply, then I'll know it wasn't me. But
we can't hardly hear you, Sister Gladys.
Okay, I'll move up. I have my microphone with the earphones is kind of messed up. Just pray I get another pair.
That's
I don't want to be too loud for you.
That sounds real good.
Life gets crazy, but, you know, I want to give God all the glory. I praise God for the opportunity, for the invite, Sister Green, that you and Brother Green have invited me to help join you here. I'm just nobody without the Lord's help, and I give him glory today because I praise God for outreach programs that our church has had, and I thank him that we were able to deliver gifts. I had mentioned it to you, and that's why I wasn't on Brother Yearwood's. There were six little foster children that are in, they're divided up right now, and that's not God's will. I believe that God is a God of restoration, and I believe tonight we dropped off gifts, and we're not anybody, I don't want to be patted on the back. It was Toys for Tots, Marine Corps, that has this opportunity, this program, and outreach. I thank God that God can reach out to these babies that need help. And there's many missions that we need to go out on. If the Holy Ghost speaks to anybody out there to do something, even if the Lord tells someone in a church house, sometimes you think, well, Lord, I'm just a visitor. But yet I still hear your small, tiny voice saying, go pray for someone. The devil's never going to tell you to pray for someone. Get up and get the boldness that the Holy Ghost wants you to have. Take hold of it and do what God wants you to do. I'm just overflowing and praising God right now because he's so good to me. He has restored my body. And, you know, I'm going to read. I don't feel like I can really add to your program very well tonight. But I'm going to do my best, Sister Green. God can resurrect things that people will look at and say, well, it's dead. You know, people sometimes have doubt and unbelief, and they want things to die. But in my heart, if God spoke it into existence, it's going to be. If we follow through what he wants us to do. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sure that's not right. Let me read it on my phone. The devil isn't going to have victory tonight. You know, sometimes God will send you out and do crazy things, but God has a reason. He always does.
Amen.
And I know tonight that God sent us out to do something. And again, it's not about us. It's what he wants done. And, you know, people belong to different denominations, but I'm going to read what this lady sent me. I guess it is the same scripture, but it's in King James Version. It's Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. If God speaks it, you can believe it. And I'm going to hold on to the things that the word of God speaks to my heart. You know, many people believe that in the house of God, the Pentecostal people especially, they think that somebody has to lay hands on them before something can be manifested. But I believe this much. I've been healed on I'm laying on the couch just reading the scriptures about him going to Calvary and dying on that cross. And my eyes just flowed with tears. And that night, Jesus touched my body and healed me. I didn't need any man or woman that night to touch me, but he touched me that night. I give him glory and honor and praise. I'm kind of, like I said, shuffling things around, and I apologize. Sister Green, I pray that your house sells and does work for the glory of God, and God sees your heart and desire, and he'll follow through on that. He said he'd give us the desires of our heart, and if that's your goal to do something with it for him, then he'll make it come to pass. I know it and believe it.
Amen.
And I'm going to go and speak about, like I said, it was kind of short notice, Sister Green, but I understand that fully. I know that he says if we confess with our hearts and believe that we will be saved. He said in Romans 10, he said, chapter in verse 9, it says, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If we follow what the Word of God says, we can't go wrong. We can always do what he says. You know, a lot of people are looking at Israel right now, and they think that, well, they're dying and they're going to hell because they don't believe. But in chapter 11 of Romans, he says that in verse 26, that Israel shall be saved. I know in my heart that the Word of God is true. If we just follow what it says, then we can't go wrong. I know I'm kind of stumbling over my words tonight, and I apologize. I just know that God is who he says he is. And if nothing else, if people will understand it, if you want healing, God's Word speaks about healing. If you need to be saved, you just cry out to God and believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and that he rose again, that he's coming back. And I'm looking forward to that day. He's coming back. In Revelation chapter 4, my faith and belief is that the church goes home to be with Jesus. Those that are ready to go. I know different people say, well, you have to live through tribulation. My belief is that you can go in a rapture. You don't have to go through all that. We are in the last days. And I know that we live in perilous times. And the Bible speaks about that. That God's Word will be sent out with prophecy. And I know in my heart that it will come true. But it's contingent on obedience. When someone lays hands on you and says, thus says the Word, that this will come to pass, you believe it and you live right, then God will bring it to pass. I also want to speak about Acts 11:14. Again, pray that I can get the earphones, and I'm kind of telling a little secret on my husband. Sometimes he gets to snoring. I praise God because he's my backup, and I have to turn the mic off. But with this mic, I can turn it off, but I can't do it while I'm talking. So if he's snoring, you'll hear him, and the world doesn't need to hear him.
That's okay.
He's been good. He's been good to me. He helped get my chair in here, and someday the Lord's going to bring me a bigger desk to set everything on. But in Acts 11:14, it says, "Who shall tell the word whereby?" It was something that was spoken to Peter. Said, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved?" That's a scripture the Christian people need to hold on to. By that is household salvation. I'm believing for my household. There may be some that are weighing in the balance tonight, but I know and believe that Jesus paid a high price for them to be saved. If I live it, not just preach it, but live it, and I do what the Bible says to do, then I believe that they will watch my life, and they can see that Jesus is true to his word. But I'm holding on to that scripture. I know some people say, well, you pick and choose, but no, that's a scripture that every Christian should hold on to. I'll read it again. He said, "Who shall tell thee word?" He's speaking to Peter here. It says, "Whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Peter, he'll do it for us. And that, I'll look through some scriptures, Sister Green, if you want me to, and I'll follow through. Prophecy is something that I like to sit under and understand a little better, but I know that when God speaks it, it will come to pass if we live in obedience to him. I want to turn it back to you, Sister Green.
Amen. Praise God. And good word, Sister Gladys. And you hold on in there, you and Sister Frieda, and we'll have you come back in, like you said. And like I said, we sure appreciate you all. And if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, we'd like you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And if you want to turn in any prayer requests, that's great. And if you have a testimony that you might want to share with us, that's wonderful. We always want to hear uplifting the Lord, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And anything, if he give you a miracle, that we want to know about it. We want you to share it so that the world will know what great God we serve. We serve a living God. We don't have to pick him up and dust him off and He's not a creation. We serve the Creator. Praise God, who created everything. Anything that nothing was made that was made except by Him. He made it all. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. heisrisen38@aol.com. Praise God. And at this time, I'd like to get a song. And it looks like Brother John might be have called in, and we'll get him here in just a moment. Brother John, is that you, 770?
Yes, sister, that's me.
Praise God. I'm going to get a song, brother, and then we'll have you obey God. I don't know if Brother Yearwood got in touch with you, but we felt led to go on prophecy. But you go however you want to go with this, Brother John.
All right. Thank you, sister.
Praise the Lord. God. And, you know, I felt led to have that song played, Jeremiah Yoakum, and he is in Dansville, Kentucky. And you can go to jeremiah.com if you want to hear his music or get any of his CDs. You can just type in your browser there, jeremiah.com. Praise God. And how many know you need to change? When God saves you, there's a change that takes place. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that one day he called my name. You know, a lot of people say, you ask them if they're saved, and they'll tell you, well, Jesus loves me. God knows me. Yes, he knows you, and God does love you. And that's why he did what he did on the cross. If he could just be up there in heaven on the throne, praise God, on the right hand of the Father, and if he could have just, he's been all the way from the beginning. In John 1, it talks about the Word is God. The Word is with God. Praise the Lord. You know, if he didn't give us our own free will, he could have just said, everybody is saved and devil, you're cast out for eternity. But one of these days, that's going to happen. All them that have decided to take Jesus, accept him as your Savior. Of course, he loves you. He loves the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the thing is, some people will say, God's not going to send nobody to that lake of fire. But, oh, yes, he is. That hell is not made for people. It was made for the devil and his fallen angels. But people are going to go there because hell enlarges its borders daily. If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you cannot enter in any other way except through the door. Praise God. And you know, we're going to talk tonight to you about prophecy. We've already started here about a half an hour ago, and we're going to get into this a little deeper. And praise the Lord, as we go, it gets deeper and deeper. And if the more you dig into your word, the deeper this prophecy gets. But you've got to be saved first before the Bible can be opened up to you. And the revelation, the interpretation of what the Bible is trying to say, only the Holy Ghost can reveal this to you. Jesus says, who does man say that I am? And he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ of the living God. He said, only the Father could have told you, reveal this to you. Only God's Spirit can reveal who Christ is. And that's the same way with the entire Word of God. He is found, Jesus Christ is found in the volume of the book. He's in the Old Testament, he's in the New Testament. You find him in the Old Testament as Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. You find him as the I Am. You find him as God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you find him in the New Testament as well. But only the Father can reveal who Christ is to you. And everybody wants to say, but he's a God of love. Sure, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. Praise the Lord. I thank God. I'm going to have Brother John, you go ahead and come in and obey the Lord, Pastor.
Appreciate that, Brother and Sister Green. I believe Sister Frieda relayed a message to my wife, and my wife got the message to me about prophecy. And got the Holy Spirit began to deal with me immediately about the fulfillment of prophecy out of Matthew chapter 13. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1 tonight, and talking about the fulfillment of prophecy. You know, that scripture there that we're going to go to in Matthew chapter 13, the word prophecy there means comes from the Greek word prophetia, which means it's an inspired message that's sometimes encouraging to obedience to God, or sometimes proclaiming the future as a warning to prepare our hearts and continue obedience. So it all brings us back to the obedience. It all brings us back to the Heavenly Father. It all brings back to obedience to God's word. But as you already said, Sister Green, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, a parable is an illustrated story. It's a similitude. It's actually a teaching story, where by illustration. So as the story shows an illustration that whoever's listening to the story sees the illustration. And so as he began to tell his story, here is the parable, amen, hallelujah. There's actually seven parables there that he's speaking of in this chapter and going through, but he says, he spake many things in the name of parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no thickness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. So as he began to speak to them, he says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so what he wanted to hear was the prophecy that was in this word, the prophetic, the bringing that to obedience. Because as he began to speak here, he told of a sower, a man who sowed seeds, a farmer who was sowing seeds. He went forth. That's what a sower does. It goes forth and sows seeds. And tonight we are sowers of the seed of God tonight. The Bible says in Genesis that as the earth remaineth, there will be seed time and harvest. And God's intention, amen, the Bible says in John chapter 15, that herein is the Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. But before a fruit is ever brought forth, there must be a seed. There must be a harvest. There must be a sowing and a reaping. There must be a receiving under the ground. And so as he went forth to sow seed, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. These seeds were sowed by the wayside. These were the seeds that were in the natural realm. Tonight, if you're a natural hearer, you're going to be thinking about seeds that were sowed out of the outer realm of where your garden is, or the outer realm of the vineyard. These were seeds that fell and didn't fall where the planting was. Well, actually, what happened to these seeds is they fell by the wayside because of the hardness of the ground, the preparedness of the ground. It had not been turned over. And what this represents in the spiritual realm is the hardness of heart, the hardness of men and women's heart who as would receive the seed. You have to understand, when he was not explaining this as I am explaining it to you. As they were told this story, they just saw a sower. They just saw a seed. And they just heard of a story where this seed fell by the wayside. They understood all of this because in the natural realm, they were planters. They were sowers. They had seed that had fell by the wayside that never took root. Never understanding the reason that it did not take root is because of the hardness of the ground, because this seed never entered in, because it was never turned over. It was never received. Tonight, amen, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And because the seed is the word of God, it's fell by the wayside to some of you, because you have received prophetic word. This seed is prophecy that has been given to you from the beginning of time. Just as Sister Green said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've had His prophetic Word from the beginning. Prophecy has been for the church. Prophecy is for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And so the prophecy, the prophetic Word is spoken, that the Word that God speaks to us is His Word, and it is a prophetic Word. Amen. It is spoken to give you and bring us to obedience, all of us to obedience. And here it was, the great multitudes were sitting together. They were receiving a prophecy from the one true prophet, amen, that was likened unto Moses. He said there would be a prophet, amen, that would be born unto you, likened unto me, who would, amen, as Moses was chosen, the meek of the earth. Here, amen, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. Here was the most meekest of all. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Here was the prophet. Amen. Here was he who was called the prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Speaking prophecy. And the Bible says, and when he sowed some seed by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The fowls are birds of prey, birds of devouring. I've seen many times in the last few days here in Georgia, amen, vultures and buzzards surrounding, amen, and just swooping down, just in little, but several birds coming, because that means that there was something dead. That means that there was something, amen, that was dead or dying on the ground, amen. These are birds of prey waiting to be, because buzzards and vultures do not feed or prey on anything that's alive. It has to wait till it's dead. And tonight, I hope there's not any buzzards listening tonight. I hope there's not any vultures be listening. I hope you're not circling, waiting for this seed to die, or this body of Christ to die, because it's not going to die. It shall live. Amen. Hallelujah. And you need to know tonight that this seed will bring life to you. This is the seed that is sown. The sower tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight you have an opportunity, because, like I said, Jesus did not explain this story to him. He just told him the story, and that's all he gave them at the first. And amen, hallelujah, you need to know tonight that the fowls represent Satan, amen, and the birds of prey. He is the fowls of the air, amen, that is coming to steal the word of God out of those that are not, amen, have a hardness of heart for whatever reason tonight. And the Bible says, and some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. In other words, this was the seed that fell upon the top of the ground, and immediately it rose up, because everything, all the strength, all the root, all the strength, all the stock was on top of the ground and on top of the surface, amen, amen, because it was shallow and because it had no depth in it, and because, amen, hallelujah, that everything was on top, it showed great, and immediately it sprung up. And, amen, these are those that have a shallow walk, have a shallow that where the word of God is on emotionally, amen, that they're supercharged, amen, by the word of God, and they are emotionally here and moved by every wind of doctrine. And as they begin to hear the word of God and moved by their emotions there, the word of God is there, but it's not death. It's just right there on the surface, amen. It could be easily moved by whatever. And it says in verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. That which sprung up immediately was scorched by the sun, because it had no root. It had no depth. There was no water of life. Amen. And even though it had the seed, all it was shallow. Tonight, church, I pray that you would open up your ear. He said, he that hath an ear to hear. Tonight, do you have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying in prophetic word to you tonight? You have an ear to hear, because he's giving you an opportunity. He's giving you a chance. Yes, this is perilous times. Just as Sister Gladys said, this is times, amen, where men are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, that are ever learning and never able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, ever learning about him but never knowing him and never coming to him, standing before him, walking around him, walking with him, walking with his word. How long will you walk with him and yet never receive him? How long will you talk with him and never receive him into your heart? How long will the seed and the seed of prophecy be spoken into your heart and you will not receive it? Will it go by the wayside? Will it be scorched? Will it not have much earth? And the Bible says, and they had no root and withered away. This one had grew up, withered away, because it had no earth. And verse 7, and the Bible says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. What does the thorns represent? The Bible says in Genesis, amen, when man fell, he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, for it shall bring forth thorns and thistles. This was representative of the sin of man. He was a ground tiller, and because he was a ground tiller, because it brought forth from the ground was cursed because man had failed. That's the reason why when Cain and Abel, amen, and when Cain and God had just cursed the ground, and what did Cain do? Brought something from the ground, brought something from the curse. Church, tonight, you can't bring your sacrifice from that which is cursed. You must bring it forth from that which is blessed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and some fell among thorns, I want you to know tonight of a seed that fell among thorns. The Bible says in Matthew 27 and 29, and that the Lord Jesus Christ fell among, amen, hallelujah. I'm going to read that. I'm going to turn to that. It's Matthew 27 and 29. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to read that because I don't want any of you to miss it. The Bible says in Matthew 27 and 29, let me turn to that, please, real quick. I didn't have it marked or anything. 27 and 29 says, and when they had placed a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. This was prophecy hanging on the cross. This was the prophetic spoken word hanging on the cross. This was the word of God hanging on the cross. This was God himself hanging on the cross, just like Sister Green said. This was God's word, and it fell right. This was God's seed that he has spoken. He that hath the ear to hear, those that heard received him. But the word of God hung on the cross on that day, for all to see, for all to hear. But they had, many had closed their eyes. Many had dullness of hearing. He was the seed that fell among thorns on the cross at Calvary that day. Jesus prophesied that the seed would fall among thorns. He was prophesying of his death. He was prophesying that he would fall among the curse of men. He was prophesied that he would be, amen, on his right and on his left would be thieves. Amen. And he would be the man in the middle. On the man that he took his place, amen. He fell and took his place, amen. Hallelujah. And tonight he wants to take your place on that place of death tonight, church. But the Bible says in verse 8, but others fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. But I thought you said, Brother John, that the ground was cursed. Yes, it was. Into the good seed. You have to understand the good seed. Only the seed is good. The good seed brought forth good fruit. And when the good fruit brought forth, it made good ground. You have to understand that bush in the midst of the desert in Exodus chapter 3 was just a bush until God got in the midst. You need to know tonight, church, that every one of you is just a bush on the backside of a desert until God gets in the midst of your life. And the Bible says, amen, you need to know on that day at Calvary that just would have been another crucifixion, just another day of death. But in that one day, God got in the midst of things. Prophecy got in the midst of things. Life got in the midst of things. Good seed got in the midst of things and fell on the good ground. When the blood, Brother John Starrs used to sing, love grew where the blood fell. And when the blood fell, it was across at Calvary. That made it good ground. That made it holy ground. That made it the I am in the midst tonight. That was prophecy coming forth. And he said, because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and the fruit of the Spirit are these. It talks about love and temperance and long-sufferance and gentleness. And these things, there's nine fruits of the Spirit. And when that fruit, that seed, the Word of God gets down on that good ground that receives the Word of God down and plants it deep, David said, I have thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When the prophetic word gets down on the inside and the prophecy and you hear it and you see it and receive it, the prophetic word says that you'll bring forth fruit. Can you imagine a 100-fold increase of love, 100-fold increase of peace, 100-fold increase of temperance, 100-fold increase of long-suffering, 60-fold, 30-fold? This is God's increase. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives increase. The Bible says by the prophet Isaiah that of his increase of his government, there shall be no end. When we get down the seed, the prophecy and the prophetic word of God that brings us to the obedience to the word of God, he said it's better to hearken and to obey than to spend the sacrifice and the fat of rams. you need to know tonight that it's full obedience to the prophetic word of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? In other words, why do you speak unto them in parables or the illustrated story? Why do you teach them while your illustrations? He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It was not given to them to know the mysteries, amen, because they had not an understanding of the prophecy of the Old Testament that was fulfilled in the revelation of the fullness of Christ. Just like Sister Green said, that this revelation only comes to you by the Spirit, church. This revelation tonight only comes to you, amen, by the Spirit, because the Bible says, because it is given to you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given, because the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 3, and I was with you in weakness, talking about Paul, and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. This is Paul speaking of himself. He was with us in weakness. He was with us in fear. He was with us in much trembling. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul, a man of God. And his speech and his preaching, he said, was not with enticing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This come by the Spirit of God tonight, church. This come by the prophetic word of God and prophecy. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God tonight, church. You need to know that your understanding and your faith tonight stands in the prophetic word of God, the prophecy of God, and the fulfillment of prophecy as you see and hear the fulfillment of this prophecy. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. In other words, the princes of the world or the wisdom of this world, he said, this is not the wisdom that I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about a wisdom that's coming from above. I'm speaking about a wisdom that's first peaceable and easily to be entreated, the Bible says in James. Hallelujah, it comes from above. You need to know tonight that in James chapter 1, that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, which is no variableness or shadow of turning tonight, church. Amen, your good and perfect gifts. Amen. Christmas just came past, and maybe some of you, amen, got a gift. But I want to know to you that the good and perfect gift was given to you a long time ago, because the Bible says, by prophecy, unto us was given, amen, a child. Unto us was given, amen, a son was born. Unto us was given an everlasting Father. Unto us was given a mighty God. Unto us was given a counselor. Unto us was given the wonderful God tonight, who is called Wonderful. Tonight it was given unto us, who will receive and have an ear to hear this prophecy. For the Bible says, but none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know he was Lord. They didn't know of his glory. They didn't know, even though he stood before him, even though they handled him, even though he had his hand on him. Church, tonight, I don't care how long you've walked with him. I don't care how long you've talked with him. I don't care how long you've slept with him. There were 12 men, amen, that slept with him, and yet one of them was a devil. You have to need to know tonight, amen, that they walked with him and they saw his suffering. They saw the things. They saw his miracles. I don't care how many miracles tonight, too. That doesn't mean you need that you know him tonight. Just because you've seen the miracles, he said they followed him because, amen, they didn't follow him because of the miracles. They followed him because they were healed tonight for whatever reason, amen. But you need to know tonight that prophecy needs to be fulfilled in your own heart, in your own life. Tonight you don't serve Jesus Christ because grandma did or grandpa did. You serve Jesus Christ because with your own heart and your own mind you made up of your mind, that you yourself are fully persuaded, amen, hallelujah, that he is able to keep that which you that you have committed, not someone else has committed. Tonight, there's no express trains. There's no martyr stations, amen, and passes where you're going to get on board, because you have to have a boarding pass, and Jesus Christ and he alone is that boarding pass. And it has to be signed and written in blood. And when you arrive, the conductor has to have your name in the book of life. Amen. And it's only written one way, and that's by the Jesus Christ, because in the spirit of Jesus is the prophecy. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, and we need to know tonight, but as it is written, that's prophecy, church. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. This did not enter into your heart. This was not seen by your eyes. This was not heard by your ears. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What did he say by Zechariah? Not by might, not by power. What did he ask Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel, what do you see? He said, I see the two olive trees. Amen. And the witnesses. And he said, I see the oil of the Norte. Hallelujah. And he knew that it was wrong. And the flame was burning. And he said, this is not by might. This is not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Tonight, church, everything is by the Holy Spirit tonight. By the Holy Ghost of God. There's a revelation. There's a vision. There's a prophecy tonight, amen, unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man? Say the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. The only way you're going to know this thing for the Spirit is to have the Spirit of God within you. The outside, amen, cannot, amen, it has to enter in. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of God. If you are the temple of God tonight, whether you, every one of you that's created, just like Sister Green said, he is the creator. Nothing was made. He made every temple that was not made with man's hands. Every one of you that hear me tonight, will you hear me? Because see, some of you hear me and some of you are listening to me. But there is a difference tonight. Some of you, unfortunately, will pass by, and this prophecy has been given to you, and you'll pass by, and some of them will fall by the wayside tonight. And after the end of this broadcast, the fowls of the air will take the prophetic word that's been spoken to your heart tonight, and Satan will come and steal the word away out of your heart. Some of you have been emotional. This is a time of holiday. This is a time of family and friends. This is a time of celebration, and truly it is. But is it a celebration taken away of what you're truly celebrating? Is these things taken away? Amen. Because what has happened is it's all surface things. On the outside, you're smiling, but on the inside, you're being destroyed because you have no depth. Your relationship with Jesus Christ has no root to it. You're not out of the root of David or out of the root of Jesse, as it says by Isaiah 11. It's all outward and it's all pretty pictures. But when the sun comes up, when trials come and tribulation comes, whatever you've had with Jesus Christ will wither away and die, because you had nothing on the inside. It was all outside. It was all a makeover and a makeup. But tonight, will you be the third, where it fell among the thorns, where it fell among the cares of the world, where it fell among sin, where the things that you have planted in your own lives and set in your own heart. Amen, hallelujah, and come, and as you come, and you've seen, and you've looked upon him, and well, you know, if he truly was the Son of God, if he truly was God, he could save himself. If you are the Son of God, get down off the throne, save yourself. And you are like the encouragers here, the one thief on the one side, say, well, you know, get us out of this situation. Or are you a true believer tonight? Are you a true worshiper? As the one thief said, Lord, remember me when you come unto your throne. And will the Lord say to you tonight, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This is a prophetic word. This is a prophetic word. For, because the Bible says in verse 12 in Matthew chapter 13, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Those that turn to thief, those that were just concerned about their own life, will lose their life. They lost their life on that day because what they had was lost in that hour, in that time. Church, what you have right now, if you've held onto your life, why don't you lose it right now and give it to Jesus and let him give you his life and let him give you the life that you now live. It's no longer you living, but Christ living in you, the prophetic, the prophet, the prophecy coming to fulfillment in your own life from this day forward, from this moment forward. Or are you going to be, just like I said, let it be the good ground. Let you receive and some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But the Bible says, but to those that have not shall be taken away from even that he hath. In other words, you have nothing to lose tonight but your soul. You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain when you give your life to Jesus. Everything that you have tonight to that one who hung on the cross, because he's no longer there. He's living and interceding, and he wants to walk and live in you tonight in the newness of life and appear to you like he did to the believers to Emmaus in another form. It's a new glorified form. He's ascended unto the Father, and he wants to show you his new body. Amen. And he wants to live down on the inside of you. And he said in verse 13, therefore speak to thy in the parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which is Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. What shall you hear tonight? You'll hear the gospel, and yet you'll not hear it, because you'll be dull of hearing. You'll see the gospel, but you'll not perceive what you see. You'll not perceive your vision. It won't be before. You'll be like a man standing. You'll be a hearer of the word, but never a doer of the word. What you've done is you've beheld the whole thing. You'll behold your whole life. You'll come to the end of your life standing, looking in the mirror. Because when you go from the moment, the Bible says in James 1, be you not only hearers of the word, but be you doers also, as beholding your face in a glass. That's a mirror. Because here's what's happened. Church, tonight, if you are beholding your own life, your own troubles, your own trials, your own problems, all you're looking is your own mirror, and all you're seeing is your own face. You've never given the opportunity to see the face of Jesus or the face of God. But tonight, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Will you quit looking at your own life, your own situations, your own face, your own troubles, and begin to seek the face of God? He said, if my people, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Tonight, you need to hear the prophecy. You need to open your eyes to heed, to see the prophetic word of God, the Spirit of God. But he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Tonight, church, did you hear not what I said, what he said, what the Spirit said? Church, did you see not what I gave to you, but what he gave to you? Do you have HD? People are looking all over for brighter pictures, bigger TVs, a clearer picture, more channels, more of this, Church, there's one channel, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got high definition. He's got heaven definition, and it's fully clear. And when the storms come, you don't have to worry about checkerboard square, because nothing will change this picture. It's bright and clear to those who have their eyes wide open and their ears. Amen. And it's Dolby sound tonight. Amen from heaven tonight, because he's got a clear face tonight. Do you hear the prophecy? Let it fall on good ground and bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold in your life right now, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Brother Sister Green.
Praise God. That's a great word, Brother John, and he's telling you the truth. If Brother John's talking to you, you need to give your heart to God so you can understand this word clearly. The Holy Ghost, he teaches us, he guides us, he directs our path. Praise the Lord. And you get in the Word of the Lord, of God, and he'll begin to open things up to you. All his promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. And all these promises are for you that are Christians, that you have accepted the sacrifice on the cross, that the wages of sin is death, but God gives the gift of life for eternity. Praise the Lord. And if you want to be part of this broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862, and we're going to get this song here. Praise God. Ground. Praise God. I want to mention these prayer requests that we have coming in tonight. We got in late, but we got on the broadcast just in time. But 31 minutes ago, I put on Facebook, does anyone have a prayer request? And these are what they are. Maria Sinners says, I have lost children, not saved. Brenda Colvin said her son Josh and his wife, they were in a car accident on Christmas Day. Her neck is broken. She has a halo. Josh, her son, has a broken leg. And another person is injured. A broken right arm, broken left hand. He's helpless. They have four children. We all need prayer for a speedy recovery. God is faithful, that I know. Praise God. Christina Pitchard says, sis, I have a very special request that our family needs God to move on quickly. It's very important. She says, thank you. Charmin Bragg, she says, remember William Reeder and the family, and that's the two-year-old I was telling you about at the beginning of the broadcast that has the brain tumor at his brain stem. Again, they've given him the radiation. They started chemo. They had to take him off the chemo because he was having too bad of a reaction. Right now, as we speak, he's at Children's Hospital on a ventilator. They could not give him a feeding tube on account of it was making him upset with his stomach, so they're feeding him only by IV since last Wednesday before Christmas. So it's been a little over a week now. Remember him in your prayer. Her name is Bridget. Her name is Brittany. She and her husband, which is my cousin, also her husband is, they've given their heart to God on the 21st of December, and I thank God for that. Bridget Lynn, Noel Lynn, says, remember her home. Her family needs prayer. The devil has been trying to come into it, so remember that. Also, we want you to remember Brother Keith Green, I know I'm not sure that he's saved, but pray for his salvation. If he's not saved, that he also has cancer, pray for him. Sister Gladys Dittmer says to praise God. She wants prayer for Sarah. Her little granddaughter has RSV and pneumonia, the contagious kind. So remember her. God knows right what that baby needs. Praise God. And we believe that God can move on that. Pray for Clinton. My husband here, they've told us today, the doctor said he believed he had pneumococcal. That's the common type of pneumonia. And they haven't diagnosed him with that until today, but he's been on several antibiotics and saw the doctor like three times now. So it's definitely on the rampage, this sickness. Pray for Brother John, Pastor John. We know there was prayer requests turned in for you earlier this week, and we've been praying for you. And are you feeling any better, brother?
Oh, yes, a whole lot better. I really started feeling really bad last Saturday in the enemies, but through the sickness there, yeah, I had the flu, and I praise the Lord for the speedy recovery and all of your prayers, and I know I wouldn't be nowhere near where I am tonight and be able to be on the broadcast if it wasn't for the prayers of the saints and the touch of the Master's hand.
Praise God. Brother, do you have any prayer requests that you might have?
Yes, we do. I need to remember my wife, please, possibly kidney stones. And there's Brother Kevin Miller. He's had several requests that he's been calling me in. Remember that family. And remember our church members, Sister Heather McKissick, she's got the flu. And Brother Ralph, he's been filling in the weather with his stomach. He's a preacher in our ministry, and and just remember him in prayer. And also Sister Robin is also taking in recovery. Amen. And I think Sister Freedom probably, you know, got on her and probably gave that. She's pretty good about keeping up with our prayer requests. Sister Freedom's been a prayer warrior for us in our church, and she's sort of coordinating a lot of our prayer efforts there between her and Brother Ralph, and I appreciate them and Sister Robin. They sort of head up our prayer envoy there, and I appreciate their help in the ministry.
Amen. Praise God. And well, remember too, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, to pray for Brother Eddie Bolton. We've not heard from him in a while, and we pray for the Lord to touch him in his body, and pray for his wife as well and their children and grandchildren. Praise God. Brother Tapio is on my heart. Brother Donald Tapio, and he's in Hazard, Kentucky. Just remember him, and the Lord knows all about the episodes that he was having when we were in revival with him here at Heavenly Highway Tabernacle here in Middletown, Ohio. He was having many strokes. I guess he'd been having those first just maybe a couple years, but he's holding on to the Lord, faith that God will heal him. So just remember that and praise God. I'm going to go ahead and obey God here for a moment while Brother Green is, you know, with that pneumonia, he gets these coughing attacks, so that's what's going on right now. So, you know, we don't want nobody's pity. We know people are a lot worse off than what we are. And we just want to pray for your soul. If you don't know Jesus Christ, we just encourage you to try him. If your life is a mess and things are hard and things are rough right now, you go through it with Jesus and you'll get on the winning side. Praise the Lord. And he'll take you through the fire like he did Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. God is a great God. He's a merciful God. But I tell you, if you don't know him, if you don't accept what he did, coming down here as a babe in the manger. We just celebrated Christmas, and he grew up to preach the gospel and to come here. He came here. The Bible said he set his face as a flint, and his mind was to go to that cross and to shed blood of his blood that he knew that the Father would raise him back up. Praise God for the remission of our sin. He bore our shame, and he took it upon himself, even though he was sinless. He had no sin, no shame about him, but it was all about us is why he came. Praise God. God is good. In Acts chapter 2, we're talking about prophecy tonight. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and all the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Perga and, I'm not saying these probably right, and Pamphylia and Egypt and in all the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Praise God. He said that and all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they all shall prophesy. Praise God. He's talking about his children tonight. When he was talking to John the Revelator in chapter 10, praise the Lord, it says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he sat his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things that there are in are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be fulfilled. And he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from the heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went into the angel, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. Praise God. And I just want to tell you tonight that tonight is, at this time in this hour, we are truly in the last days. John the Revelator, God give him, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, what to say in the book of Revelation. It's to me and to you today. Daniel had to seal up the book. He couldn't tell all of his dream because it wasn't that time yet. And it made Daniel sick. He was very ill when he had this dream of the end time. And God gave more of the last day a revelation to John the Revelator, which is for you and I today. And you know, sometimes, Pastor John, I believe that people will take and they'll go from the beginning to Genesis and they'll stop at the book of Revelation because they say we're not going to be here. But, you know, the book was written, the little book that John the Revelator had to eat. And, you know, it seemed like in the last 20 years that I've been saved, that that's the book that the Lord has wanted me to study and to look into, and you know, not to ignore it, and not to say, I know salvation is important, and I know that when we preach that we must preach salvation, that's really, really important, that we must know Christ and we must preach Christ and Him crucified, resurrected, praise the Lord from the dead, and that we are someday going to get our glorified body, those that have received Christ. And, you know, this mortality, immortality will put on mortality, and this corruption will put on incorruption, and all that, praise God, is very important. And Jesus told them that upon this rock I'll build my church. He was talking about Himself, Jesus Christ, being the foundation of this house that we're supposed to be building upon. And praise God, and He being the chief cornerstone, and how we're the lively stones in the building. And, oh, praise God. But, you know, for some reason in the last 20 years, God has had me. I've been drawn to the book of Revelations, and you know, for some reason had to study and given dreams after dreams about this book. And, oh, praise God, I tell you, this is a way of escape. This is a hallelujah time. This is a jubilee time. This is a day of Pentecost time for you and I, that we're going to help the remainder of them that are going to be left here. Oh, praise God, I believe people will be saved during that time of tribulation, and praise the Lord, and I believe that we're going to prophesy again. John the Revelator's not here anymore. He's in somewhere in heaven waiting for His glorified body to be given to Him, and who knows, He might have been one of the 24 elders that was sitting around the throne that was redeemed from the earth, praise God. He might have saw Himself in that vision when He was caught up in chapter 4, right there at the end of chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4, it says, "And I, John, was caught up, praise the Lord." And hallelujah, thanks be to God. And I believe when He saw into that throne room in chapter 4, I believe He may have saw Himself sitting there, praise God. And, you know, I might be wrong about that, Pastor John, but I believe that He might have just saw Himself. But He's just like you and I, praise God, redeemed from this earth. You know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. And I believe, praise God, that when God was talking to John and said, "You'll prophesy again to every kindred nation, to every people," I believe it's this book, hallelujah, that He was talking about. When Peter and John, and they was with Jesus, and Peter said, "What's John going to do to Jesus?" And Jesus said, "What's it to thee if he tarry until I come?" And you know, He, in a sense, He is tarrying now, praise God. Even though He's not here with us, God left us the book that we can read and we can eat up. Praise the Lord, this little book, this book of Revelation, God's going to open up to His prophets. He said so. Hallelujah. He's going to open up, I believe, that it said not to write down what He saw about the seven thunders. And I believe to the prophets in the last days, yes, do I believe there's prophets here today? Yes, I sure do. And He's going to give it to the prophets, praise God. And you know, I believe, now this is just the way I believe that the seven thunders could be the seven keys to understanding the book of Revelation. And one of them is, who are the real Jews, whether it be natural Jews, spiritual Jews. And you know, once we get that interpretation on who the Jews are, praise God, who Israel is, Jacob was name was changed to Israel, it meant that they believed in God. It was God-fearing people is what they were. Hallelujah. And that's what born-again believers are today. You are the natural spiritual Jew. Hallelujah. The natural Jew said that we're from Abraham, that they're going to make it. And He said that if you were from Abraham, you would have known Me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Green feels like next week we're going to go with, next week is the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. And that's going to bring more light into this, more into what I'm saying, the understanding who is a real Jew. Even Abraham himself wasn't a natural Jew over in that place, where we're in Israel. I believe it's probably a parallel to what's going on over in the real, we are the real Israel, but over there in that nation called Israel, praise God, they have to come in just like you and I. They can't go in no other way. Hallelujah. Except through by Christ. And today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. And I think I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Brother Green. We've got some more prayer requests coming in as we talk here tonight. And praise the Lord. God is so good, and I love Him. I praise God. Thank Him for every one of you that call in. And I feel like I wanted to clear something up a little bit. Sister Frida, just we need to pray for her. She just, her mommy just passed away not just a few weeks ago, I believe it was. And keep her on your heart and keep her in prayer. And so she made a comment earlier today, and I love her, and I thank God she calls in. We need her. That we don't pray to the dead. We don't pray to them that have gone on, and but we pray to Jesus. And I believe that's what she meant. I believe that maybe she's thinking that if she prays to Jesus, that God will go tell her mom that she's doing all right, her daughter, back here on this earth. And I just love the Lord. I thank God for prayer warriors. Pastor John, he's given credit to the prayer warriors in his church. And Sister Frida is a great help to him, and she's a great help to us here on this here broadcast. And I had a conversation with a woman at work the other day, and she used to be a devout Catholic, and her denomination's not that anymore. And we had a conversation about praying to the saints. And she seems to still believe that way, but we don't believe praying to saints. Praise God. We believe we only can pray through Jesus. He's the mediator. Praise the Lord. And I don't want to offend nobody, but if you need salvation tonight, you need prayer, you need your soul to be saved, you call upon the name of Jesus. There's no other name on heaven or on earth except that name, Jesus. Praise God. And here's Brother Green.
Praise God. It's good to be with you. Well, fighting a little battle here with whatever the doctors say I got. And, well, it's just a light affliction, praise the Lord. And I got the Lord on my side. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes our body don't line up with what the Word says. But I'm believing with His stripes I'm healed. And I'm binding and rebuking this affliction, and you know, we go through things. The Bible never said that we would never be sick, but it said that He would deliver us. That depends on what we believe, how much faith we have in God, and we may have a lot of faith in God, but we may not understand the promises. But I thank God that we can get into the Word, and we can look, and we can understand the promises, and we're fighting a good fight, faith, and you know, the devil's trying to rob us of whatever faith we have. But I tell you, we have faith tonight, church. We've been born again. We've been washed in the blood. We've been baptized in water. We've been, some of us, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and some of us are using the gifts, and I thank God for all the gifts of the Spirit, and one of them gifts is prophecy. We spoke a little bit tonight on prophecy, and it's a great thing that we can prophesy. But I want to get into the Scriptures, and I want to start out with what Rachel read here in Acts chapter 5. And I heard some of the preaching, and I was missed some of it also. But I thank God that the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I told my wife, I said, one of these days, my body's going to get in line with the Word of God. And I know in my spirit, with His stripes, I'm healed. And He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And I know that He paid the price. Like Brother John said, I heard he said something about the thorns, you know, that Jesus took the curse in His own body on the tree. He took that curse. They put Him between two thieves, and they plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head. And them thorns stood for that fall that happened in the garden. And Brother John brought that out real good. Now, thank God for the ministers, each one of you, no matter if you say a lot or you say a little, it's all needful, and we thank God for you. And, you know, sometimes we may not always say the same things, and we may not always agree totally eye to eye, but don't fall out with us. Just keep on coming on and keep on putting your part in. And, you know, we're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and we don't always understand things the way we ought to. But if we stay in the Word of God, someday we'll come to the knowledge of the truth. If we're obedient to God and we stay true to God, we surely will come to the knowledge of the truth, and in a deeper sense is what I'm talking about. We already know the foundation is Jesus. We already are building upon that foundation. And I want to read this here in chapter 5, and Rachel read it earlier. And chapter 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now this was Apostle Peter preaching in verse 29. He said, it says here, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And I want you to know there's only one way to get forgiveness, and that is through Christ. And verse 32 says, and we are his witnesses of these things. The Apostle Peter was saying, God has made us witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. I want you to know tonight that we cannot have the gifts of the Spirit, we cannot have the gift of the Holy Ghost, if we have the gift of the Holy Ghost, then God can use us in other gifts. It says here, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So if we do not obey the gospel, we cannot receive this Holy Ghost that he's talking about here. And I want you to know over in John chapter 7, turning over there right now to John chapter 7, went the wrong way. But we need the Holy Ghost is what I'm trying to say tonight. You know, we can be saved and we can have, I believe this now, don't fall out with me, some of you. I don't believe it's the Holy Ghost or nothing. The Holy Ghost baptism is what I'm talking about. In John chapter 7, well, first of all, you know, Mark said, John the Baptist said there in the book of Mark, he said, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Let's see here. And then I want to turn to that in Mark chapter 1. Kind of ain't got it together real good here tonight, but we're getting there. Praise the Lord with the help of God. The Bible said that John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey and preach, saying, this is verse 7, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So John said, I can give you the water, I can put you in the water, but I can't give you the Holy Ghost. And you know, that's the way it is today. We can preach to you, but it'll take God to baptize you. It'll take Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Because it says here in verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about Jesus being the Holy Ghost baptizer. Now, it gets kind of deep here because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe that's 12, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, and I believe it's verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, that's born again. That's being born again. That's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when you get into the family of God. And then you're a candidate for what John the Baptist was talking about, where Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. And we'll read on here just a little bit more in verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So here we have John. He's baptized Jesus, and the Spirit of God comes upon us. It says, and the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Now, Bible don't say he spoke in tongues. Bible don't say that he did anything right then. But he went. It does say that the Father spoke out of heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. That's verse 12. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So I want to go a little farther here in John chapter 7 about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because all these gifts work through a person that is baptized in the Holy Ghost, not just saved. Now, I think I can bring this out, but it might take me some time. I might not be able to do it in this broadcast. Talking about prophecy, and we'll get to that here in a minute. In John chapter 7, in verse 30, I think it's 38, okay. John 7, I'm in the wrong chapter, I'm sorry. I'm in chapter 8, don't worry, I ain't finding it. But we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The promises to, Peter said there in chapter 2 of Acts, the promises to you and to your children and all that are far off, in it, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he's calling us today, church, and if you're saved, you're called. And you're hearing the gospel. And depending on what you're hearing has something to do with your faith and what you're going to be receiving. If you're not getting the whole counsel of God, then you're not going to receive everything you need because your faith is not going to be where it needs to be. But I want to look here in John 7, 37 here. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, This is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So we know that Christ was born in Bethlehem, And this is the Christmas season. We just came through having Christmas, celebrated that. And Christ was born in Bethlehem, and the scripture said that. But there was a division among the people because they were, it says here in verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. So, well, they were out to kill Jesus. I know if you've read your Bible, you found that out. So they was out to kill him because he declared himself to be the Son of God. And they didn't like that too good, as you know. But he's saying here in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So now the Holy Ghost was not yet given, and he gives a reason. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, Jesus had to go to the cross and die for our sins, and then he had to raise from the dead and go back to the Father and send back the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And it gets kind of deep, I tell you, today, because, you see, people have changed a lot of these commentaries. They call them Bibles, but they're commentaries. And I'll guarantee you, most of them have taken out that word, the Holy Ghost. And they all say Holy Spirit. And it becomes confusing because it does away with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In other words, if you don't have a King James Version Bible, you're going to have a pretty hard time figuring out that there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I hope that don't offend nobody, but that's just the way I see it. And I know that the Word cannot lie. I know that John said when he was baptizing that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So I want you to know that the people that wrote this Bible knew what they were, the ones that the King James Version 1611 Bible, these people knew what they were talking about. These were not unlearned and ignorant men that put this Bible and translated it. But they knew what they were talking about. And this is a true translation. And anywhere that they put anything in this Bible, they let you know they put it in. They were honest men. And I want to go a little farther now. We're talking about prophecy. And there's the gift of prophecy. That comes through the gift of the Holy Ghost. When the disciples followed Jesus, you'll cut me off if we get too long. All right, I'll have to make it quick because I'm running out of time, I guess. And being assembled, as Acts 1 and 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water. He's referring back to John when he was baptizing with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So the Father has got some things he's not going to reveal to us. I believe that. And if somebody comes up prophesying to you and telling you that Jesus is coming tomorrow, or he's coming next month, he's coming on such a day on such a mountain, well, I tell you what I'd do with that. I'd put that probably in a garbage can instead of on a shelf because that don't line up with the Bible. Had a man come to our church one time and he claimed to be Jesus. And he said he was going to such a mountain, And he was taking his people back to heaven, and he named the mountain, and he named the mountain to be in Michigan. And he said, I can show you the nail prints in my hands and the stripes on my back. I said, no, that ain't necessary. That ain't necessary. He's going to try to take his shirt off there in church. I said, no, I don't believe you ought to do that. And, well, he ended up leaving when one of the elders come back and heard us talking. And the elder threw up his hands and started speaking in tongues. Some of you may not know what that's all about, but it's one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then there's also prophecy, and there's interpretation of tongues, and the gifts of miracles, and all these things are in the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he says here, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. This is Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So that's when he went back into heaven. And I want you to know tonight that Revelation, Joanna might have read this, I'm not sure. In Revelation 19 and 10, the Bible says there that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I thank God for that. The testimony of Jesus. That means a true testimony of Jesus. That don't mean a false testimony. But that if somebody is speaking by the Spirit of God, they are not speaking a curse. They're not. That's not the devil speaking. I know people's been taught that, that we speak in tongues, and that's the devil. Well, I would ask you to read your Bible. The Bible, King James Version Bible, is the Word of God, true Word of God. And I would want you to know that the Scriptures, which is the Word of God, is final authority. It don't matter what your preacher says or your pastor or whatever leader that you might be following tonight. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. So I'm prophesying in a way, you know, I'm speaking by the help of the Lord tonight. I'm not actually in the spirit of prophecy. Might get into it, don't know. But I am coming out of the Word of God, and I want you to know tonight that the Word is true, and you can bank on the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, I believe you can be saved and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That you have a portion of the Spirit, and you can do great things with what God has given you. But if you want to win the lost, you need the tools of evangelism. And you can win more souls with the baptism of the Holy Ghost than you can with praying in English. When you pray with the Spirit and you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says we build up ourselves on a most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost in the book of Jude. You will win more battles if you are praying in the Spirit. You will get things accomplished. That doesn't mean you won't fight battles, but we need to get victory in these battles, and victory will come. I believe that. Victory will come. That doesn't mean you're never going to die. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So we have an allotted time on earth to fulfill, and we want to try our very best to fulfill that allotment of time that God's given us. It's God's will that we in health, that we prosper and be in health. And we find that, and I think it's 3 John, verse 1 or 2 there. God's not willing that any should perish, this subject we've barely scratched a hold of right here tonight. Somebody said, but when that which is 1 Corinthians 13:9-12, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm not there right now, but I'm going to turn over to that because I think this is very important. 13, I want to read 9-12. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, you see, there's growth in this, and we're not all at the same level. But we need to put away the childish things, and we need to grow up. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known, as also I am known. Okay, now I want to say something about this because it's not telling us not to prophesy. The Bible says forbid not to speak with tongues one place. And if some tongues are interpreted and are equal with prophecy, in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So all the spiritual gifts are good, but prophecy is the greatest convincer that you are of God. They'll say you're of God. How do you know the secrets of my heart? How do you know this and how do you know that? Because it's revelation. And Paul himself said, but when that which is perfect is come, then, he said, then that which is in part shall be done away. For now, he says, right now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, it means at this present time, I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And I want to give you another scripture for that. 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Even though we're the sons of God, it says here, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't exactly know what we're going to be. We've looked into it by the word of God. We have a glimpse into it. We're seeing through a glass darkly. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he shall appear is what this is talking about. When it's talking about, when in verse 10, when that which is perfect is come. Jesus is the one that's perfect. And he's gone back to the Father, but he's going to come back one of these days, and he's going to straighten all this stuff out. It says, then that which is in part shall be done away. So it's not talking about right now. Some people have been taught that, but that's not what it's talking about. I would like for you to, you know, mark that down maybe and try to see if I'm telling you the truth. That's 1 Corinthians 13:9-12, and also 1 John 3:2. You want to take it back for a while?
Praise God. We are down to 2 minutes, and at this time we need to go to prayer. We got a minute and a half. Praise God. Let's go to prayer and pray over these prayer requests, and as we pray, if the time goes out, we'll see you next Friday. Remember, Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. It's blogtalkradio.com, Reaching the World for Christ. Praise God. Lord, in the name of Jesus,
thank
God, we
Lord,
ask that
God,
you touch each and every prayer request, dear Lord. Touch this. granddaughter, Lord. Help her, Lord, with that pneumonia and that RSV, dear God. Lord, you see what she has needed. Heal her body, Lord, and shield those, dear God, that go around her, for it's contagious, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch Will. Lord, touch that tumor. Heal it at the root, dear Lord. When doctors can't do nothing about it, Lord, you can surely do it, Lord. God, we praise you. Thanks, Lord, for touching Pastor John, Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you touch his wife, dear God, his family, his children, his grandchildren, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Touch in their bodies, dear God. Touch Brother Eddie Bolt, dear God. Help him, Lord. Touch his wife, dear God.
Lord.
Thank you for all the requests, Lord, that's been on Facebook. Lord, you see what they have need of. You see every household, dear God. You see the listeners, dear Lord, that's not on Facebook, God. Them that are listening to this, God. We ask that you touch and heal, God. You save souls, dear Lord. We may never know who they are, God, but you know, Lord. To you be all the glory.
Lord, those sicknesses trying to attack your people tonight, Lord.
Touch brother and sister Yearwood, dear God. Help them, Lord. Whatever they have need, dear God. In the name of Jesus, Timothy, Lord. Touch brother Timothy and help them.
Lord, them that are shut in tonight, Lord.
Lord,
that are bound and oppressed, let healing flow in their bodies. Lord, we find cancer in the name of Jesus. God, we speak against it, Lord. Lord, touch that child in the hospital, Lord. We find and rebuke that cancer in his body. Lord Jesus, by your great power, Lord, heal that child, Father, we pray. Lord, meet every need, Lord, and comfort them that are going through suffering, Lord, to that, Father. In the name of Jesus,
thank you,
God. We praise you. We thank you for answering prayer.
Praise God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Brother Grant. Grant to you.